Father, we just thank you for the excitement of being able to share your love with other people. We thank you for the excitement of you loving us and you liking us. This morning, we're going to be asking you a question, and that is, do you like us? And if so, where's the proof? Where's the evidence? Father, I ask that through your Holy Spirit that you would reveal to us what it means that you actually like us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to talk about like this morning. You know, it's funny how you can say that God loves you, and you can say it over and over, and you can tell people that God loves them. But there's something about the word like that's a little different, isn't there? I can believe that God loves me, but it's a whole different thing to believe that God likes me. Because God loves everybody. God loves the world, right? I've been to football games. I've seen the sign. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He loves everybody. So why wouldn't he love me? But what does it mean that God likes you? Does that word not do something for you? Does it not evoke different thoughts that God likes you? He actually likes your hobbies, your interests, your personality. He likes who you are. Well, you know, we can say that God likes us, but where's the evidence? Where's the proof? Well, you say, well, the proof's in the Bible. Well, yeah, but I mean, I don't carry the Bible around with me all the time. And I don't open it up and read it all day long, and so I forget that God likes me. So what is it that I can focus on? What is it that I can know to really grasp the idea that God likes me? Well, when we talk about God liking us, I think we're struggling with this as human beings because we're ignoring some very obvious things. Our expectations, first of all, we expect some fireworks. I mean, if God likes me, there's going to be stuff happening. There's going to be all kinds of stuff happening, and it's going to be obvious because things are going around me. I've got all these feelings. I feel God loving me. I feel God liking me. And then I'm going to have miracles happening. I'm going to have things occurring in my circumstances to where it's obvious that God is arranging my life, and he's giving me evidence, physical evidence, proof that he likes me. But obviously our lives don't look like that, do they? Our lives don't look like that on a daily basis. So what does God's evidence look like? What do God's provisions look like? If they don't match up with my expectations, I may not know what to look for. I'm expecting this, and God is saying this. I'm expecting something visible and miraculous, and God is saying, well, I do love you, and I do like you, but it looks like this. And so if my expectations are out of whack with God's provisions, then I'm going to miss the evidence that he's trying to shout from the heavens that he likes me. Our expectations may be comfort and pleasure. That is, if God really likes me and God really loves me, well, then the Christian life is a life of faith where my faith punches the right buttons with God and comfort and pleasure comes out. It's like Vegas. You go there, you crank it, and comfort and pleasure comes out every time. Because I've got faith in the right God. He's a loving God. He likes me. And therefore, his goal with me is comfort and pleasure. I told you the story of a well-known Christian teacher who was on late-night television in front of millions. He said that God's goal is for every Christian to go to college. God wants every Christian on the planet to go to college. He says it's not just about wealth, it's about education also. Try that in the third world. It's not going to work. Try that in America. It's not going to work. You got people who don't go to college, and this guy would say, well, you don't have enough faith. Because if you had enough faith, you could crank that bar down, and out would come wealth and college and comfort and pleasure. So what we've got is, we've got expectations that if God really liked me or loved me, then things would look right. They would look right on the outside. What we're ignoring is the obvious. What we're ignoring is the Trinity. Now, hang on before I lose you here, because you can say, well, that's just Bible talk. What do you mean by he's ignoring, I'm ignoring, we're ignoring the Trinity? We're ignoring the Father, what the Father has done to say, I like you. We're ignoring the Son, what the Son has done to say, I like you. And we're ignoring the Holy Spirit, perhaps most of all, in what he has done to say, I like you. So let's talk about ignoring the Father. What has the Father done to show us that he likes us? I mean, is the Father really interested in us? First, let's go back to the beginning of time. Let's look at creation. I mean, God was just fine, right? The whole Trinity, he had company. God had company. He had his Son and he had the Holy Spirit. He was fine. And yet he chose to create us. What does that say? It's evidence from the Father direct to us that, hey, I'm interested in people. I'm interested in you. I'm interested in relationship. I am sufficient in and of myself, but I want you. I don't need you, but I want you. The book of Acts says God doesn't need anything, right? God's not served by humans as if he needed anything, but he wants us. He created us. He designed us to have relationship. What about Adam and Eve? We see God walking in the garden with Adam and Eve, having relationship with them, enjoying their company. Do you believe that God enjoys your company? Do you really believe that God enjoys you? Of course, you would say, well, I enjoy his company. I'm glad that he lives in me and I enjoy his company. But does God enjoy your company? Does God like you? Does God like to hang out with you? Does he enjoy your company? You look at Israel. Look at what God did for Israel. He cared so deeply. He chose a people. It could have been any nation, but he chose a people and he just lavished his love on them. He cared for them. He sought them out. He desired relationship with them. Again, he could have just watched after the fall of Adam and Eve. He could have just sat back and said, you know what? Now you're going to see the consequence of sin and I'm going to just watch. I'll show you. But instead, he followed this people and he sought out relationship and they failed him, they betrayed him, they cheated on him, and he stayed right in there, right in the midst of them cheating on him. And he sought relationship with them. Humans, just like you and me, they weren't magic Israelites, they weren't miraculous Israelites, they were just flesh and bone, just like you and me, and he wanted them, he desired them. Relationship. Think about the prophets of the Old Testament, those who were, the Holy Spirit would come upon them for some type of divine act of service. You look at Samson, you look at Elijah, you look at the way that God came down in the midst of their lives and he had relationship with them. He sought out friendship with them. The Lord was their friend. The Lord was their counselor. The Lord was their helper. The Lord was who they wanted to have relationship with, and God wanted to have relationship with them. So what are we seeing here? We're seeing a group of humans, whether it's Adam and Eve, whether it's Israelites, whether it's prophets, we're seeing human beings, flesh and blood, nothing magical or miraculous about them, and we're seeing the God of heaven seek out intimacy with these people, absolute intimacy. Are we ignoring the Father? Second, are we ignoring the Son? What did Jesus say? Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, right? So are we, in our pursuit of the Father, are we ignoring the Son? You know, everyone, nearly everyone on the planet is seeking the Father. Do you know that? Buddhists want a relationship with God. Hindus want a relationship with God, right? And I'll tell you this, that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you're just trying to have a relationship with God and wondering what God thinks of you up in heaven, you're really going to find no answers, no more answers than the Buddhist or the Hindu. because I'm looking at God the Father without looking through the lens of Jesus the Son. Jesus the Son is the lens through which I should be looking at God the Father. Here I am trying to have a performance-based religious relationship with God the Father, and thousands of miles away, so is the Buddhist, and so is the Hindu. And so is this person and that person, trying to figure out, does God like me? God's up in heaven and I'm down here on earth, and does he like me? Well, certainly I have a warm feeling today. He must. And then tomorrow, well, I slipped up, I feel bad, and therefore today he must not like me. This is based on humanity and emotions and head games with God the Father, all the while ignoring the Son. If I'm going to figure out whether God likes me, I cannot ignore the Son. What I see in the Son is I see God's love in physical, visible form, and I see God's like in physical, visible form. A physical, actual, historical example of God caring about me. So when the question mark pops up and my emotions are all over the place and I'm on this roller coaster from yesterday to today to tomorrow, the Son doesn't change. The visible, physical, actual picture of the demonstration of the like of God towards me doesn't ever change. God likes me. God took my sins away, but I don't feel like God took my sins away through the Son. But I don't feel good about my relationship with God. I don't feel like he loves me. God took my sins away through the Son, not through the Father, through the Son. So I'm trying to figure out whether I'm okay, and all the while, he's trying to say, look at the Son, look at the Son, look at the Son. And instead of looking at the Son, it's just as if we're talking about the physical Son up in the sky. Instead of looking at the Son, I'm turning, and I'm looking at a shadow on the ground, and what is the shadow of? Myself. How is my performance today? How have I been doing lately? And I'm looking at this picture of me and my movements and my performance, and all the while I've got my back to the Son. And I'm saying, am I okay? Do you like me? Do you love me? And my eyes are focused intensely on myself to figure out if I'm okay. And what makes me okay? Well, if the shadow is performing adequately according to my measurements, if I'm the right size, the right width, if I've done the right things, if I'm performing adequately according to Christian principles and Christian standards, well, then God must like me because God likes performers. Instead of looking at the performance of the Son 2,000 years ago that will not change, this shadow will change in shape and size over the years, right? But the Son will not change. The only way I'll know whether God likes me and get the answer right is to keep my eyes on the Son. If you ignore the Son, honestly, you're not much better off than the Buddhist or the Hindu who's trying to have relationship with the Creator God, the Father of all. We're ignoring the Son. Like in visible form. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Lastly, ignoring the Holy Spirit. This is my favorite one. This is my favorite one because what I see us doing is we're having relationship with God up in heaven, and we're forgetting that God lives in us. We're looking around, Christians today, we're looking around for things to work out, like a good house and a good job and a good wife or husband. And then if these things line up right, well, then God likes me. Then I'm in his will and he's treating me fairly and he likes me. We're looking for external evidence that God likes me. How did Jesus's house turn out? How did Jesus' job, how did Jesus' life, how did Jesus' marriage turn out? It didn't turn out so hot, any of it, did it? Did God love Jesus? Did God love his Son? How did the early Christians' lives turn out? Were there comfort and pleasure? Were their circumstances all lined up because they had faith and knew how to hit the jackpot every day? Because Jesus had died recently and risen recently and the early church was right on, so everyone ran around with dollars in their pockets and comfort and pleasure? We find the exact opposite. We find very little outward physical evidence lined up for them to show them God liked them, to show that God loved them. Instead, they kept claiming, God lives in us. I know God likes me. He resides in me. Denounce it. I will not. I'd rather die. Deny it. I will not. I've never known such great a love to have this God live inside of me. I don't care what you do to me. I don't care if you chop me into bits, cut my head off. I don't care what you do. You can stone me. I will not deny the like and the love of the Father because he lives in me through the Holy Spirit. I cannot deny it. Kill me off. I don't care. God likes me. Are you ignoring the very presence of the Holy Spirit inside of you? Are you like the Buddhist or the Hindu, like the religious, trying to figure out whether God loves you, whether God likes you, by looking up into the heavens and then looking down at yourself and putting yourself in God's shoes? You say, well, if I were God, I'd be pleased with this, I'd be hurt by this, I'd be angered by this, I'd be disappointed by this, and I'd like this. So therefore, God must feel all of these things towards me. Who's God? Well, you're God in that situation. And you're also, again, ignoring the Son. In your calculations, you have not factored in the perfect forgiveness and cleansing of the Son. You've got you, your imagination, and your impressions of what God thinks of you, and you have subtracted the Son from the equation. Not to mention the Holy Spirit, Christ himself, lives inside of you. I'm trying to stay in fellowship. We've got this phrase floating around today. I'm trying to stay in fellowship with God the Father. And he's saying, the Holy Spirit lives in you. But I need to stay in fellowship. I don't feel in fellowship. I've put myself in you. I've deposited myself in you permanently. Yeah, but I don't feel like I've got warm fuzzies from the Father today. Forget warm fuzzies. I've got myself inside of you. It's not a feeling. It's a fact. It's not a feeling. It's a reality. Are we ignoring the Holy Spirit? Do we know that when we say Christ lives in us and Christ can live through us, that we're actually talking about God the Father? If you have the Son, you have the Holy Spirit, guess what? You have the entire Trinity. And the entire Trinity is pleased to have you. We look at our expectations again. Fireworks, when he says it's not fireworks, it's history. It's down in the book. It's written. It's done. Your sins have been taken away. I like you. I love you. I accept you. I live in you, and I'm happy about it. I'm totally thrilled to be inside of you, and you're okay with me. So quit trying to put yourself in my shoes and judge yourself and figure out whether you come out okay based on quiet time, based on church attendance, based on your mission work. You are putting a measurement on my love and on my like, and the measurement is Jesus. That's how much I like you. I like you that much. You're worth Jesus to me. It's not fireworks, it's facts. It's not feelings, it's facts. It's not miracles and perfect situations outside, it's a perfect situation inside. Do you know you've got a perfect deal on the inside? It's an absolute, flawless, perfect deal. You have got the best deal going on planet Earth. I mean, you've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you can come up with one reason why he would leave you, then the Son answers that question. I took it away. The Son provides an answer to the Father for everything you throw up as a possible reason for God leaving you. The Son has an answer for it. Remember the cross. Remember the blood. I took it away. Therefore, the Holy Spirit says, okay, I'll live in you forever. Without fail, I'll live in you forever. But what about go talk to the Son. But I just committed the greatest, go talk to the Son. The Trinity takes care of the entire relationship, and in the middle of that Trinity, there you are benefiting from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all at once. It's awesome. It's awesome to begin to think about that. Our expectation, comfort, and pleasure, and he is saying, you're looking at the external, and I'm not saying I'm not involved, but man, the miracle is on the inside. The miracle is invisible. Won't you join me in enjoying the invisible miracle of God himself residing in you permanently, no matter what? God's provision is the Father's love. God's provision is the Son's death. And God's provision is the Holy Spirit's life. Again, you try to put one of these out of the equation and you've got religion, but you don't have Jesus. You've got religion, but you don't have what God intended from the very beginning. Are you willing to say the entire Trinity is pleased to have me? The entire Trinity is absolutely thrilled to be involved in my life. But I'm not a preacher. The entire Trinity is thrilled to have you. Was Adam a preacher? Was Eve a preacher? Was Eve a missionary? You see, it's not about Christianity. It's about humanity. It's about a human and their God. That's what it's about. It's about life restored to a normal human being. That was God's intention from the very beginning. And here I am pulling out my religion card saying, but I'm not this, but I'm not that, but look at this, but look at my track record, but look at this, but I just this. And God's saying, it's finished. I've taken your sins away. Look inside of you. I've said my Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Don't look up, look in. Don't pray up a long-distance phone call up into heaven trying to figure out, put your radar up and your feelers up to see if I love you, to see if I like you. You're playing a long-distance game. Heaven has come to earth. I have come to live inside of you. It's not a long-distance relationship. It's the closest thing you've got, closer than husband and wife. Closer than husband and wife. Anyone who has joined himself to the Lord, one spirit with him. I don't know how many times I've quoted that verse since I've been here. It's one of my favorites. One spirit with him. That's closer than one flesh. One spirit with him. Closer than marriage. Closer than the sexual relationship. Closer than the most intimate thing that you can come up with on the planet. And we're saying, am I in fellowship? You see how way off base we are? Am I in fellowship? You're one spirit with him. And the Son has an answer for every accusation, constantly pointing us to the Father. And the Father is saying through the Spirit, I'm constantly, without fail, in you. Well, let's go ahead and pray together. Father, we pray to you because you're our dad. The reason we can pray to you is because you, through the Spirit, you live in us. And so many times we come up with dirt on ourselves to try to prove you wrong. You say you love us, you say you like us, but I don't feel likable. Thank you for making us likable. Thank you for taking the dirt away, for disposing of the file. We thank you for the Son. We thank you for the courtroom drama that took place where you declared us innocent because of the Son. Father, I pray that we would not return to the courtroom, that you would remind us the courtroom is over. There is no judgment. There is no courtroom for us. You say, he who believes in me is not judged. Father, I pray that you would use today, I pray that you would use the evidence in the scriptures, that you would use the presence of the Holy Spirit himself inside of us as a constant reminder of the evidence that you like us, that there's no courtroom left, that we're okay. Thank you for loving us, and most of all, thank you for liking us. In Jesus' name. Amen.